Broadcasting on the Drug Truth Network, this is Cultural Baggage.
It's not only inhumane, it is really fundamentally un-American.
My name is Dean Becker. I don't condone or encourage the use of any drugs, legal or illegal. I report the unvarnished truth about the pharmaceutical, banking, prison, and judicial nightmare that feeds on eternal drug war. This past weekend, dozens of prison reform groups gathered together in Lafayette Park across the street from the White House for the Journey for Justice rally. The main organizer was fellow radio talk show host Roberta Franklin.
What I love about this group of people, everybody kept asking me, how many people are coming, how many people are coming. I'm not even concerned about how many people are coming. I'm more concerned about the quality of people that are here today. And I'm more concerned that we, as family members of people incarcerated, activists, organizations, and people that have struggled so hard to get here today. And what's so wonderful about this group of people today, everybody got here on their own dime. Everybody got here by denying something or doing like me, putting the light bill money up and maybe not have lights when we go home. But we all got here because we know that in this country today, our criminal justice system is a joke. When we really think about it, the security around here is so sad that we have become prisoners in our own country because of the injustices we as a nation have done to other people. But we don't even have to look to other countries. We just have to look to America's prison. President Bush was so shocked at Abu Ghraib. He says, this is not the American way.
What?
He's a liar.
That's right.
And I hope he hears us today. He is a liar. Not only is it the American way, it's the only way America knows. It's
That's
all
right.
they know.
That's right.
Some of the worst abuses in this country occurred under George W. Bush when he was governor of Texas. People were tased. Dogs were put on them. This was in prison. We got them. We got video. We got pictures. So he is a liar. He's quite accustomed to the abuses. More executions occurred under him. Frank Valdez was beaten to death under his brother Jeb's wash in Florida. So we can stop the lies today.
That's
we
right.
can stop the lies today.
That's right.
We can all stop posturing. We are going to have to come together in record numbers across this country. This park should be full, and I'm pretty sure in years to come it will be.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure it will be. We've got 2.5 million men and women incarcerated. We have phone companies robbing us to the tune of $1 billion a year. This so-called war on drugs is a joke. It's a lie. It's a war on communities of color and poor people.
That's right.
The United States doesn't have a war on drugs.
That's right.
Alcohol-related deaths outweighs drug deaths 10 to 1. 10 to 1. Pharmaceuticals. We legalize what we want to legalize. We criminalize who we want to criminalize. And it's just so good to see such a mixture of people today. See, this is the real story. This is the real picture that the American people does not see. American people see cop stories where all you see is big, burly black guys handcuffed, going to prison, and even black folks sitting at home saying, golly, you need to lock him up. But look around you today. This is the real story.
That's right.
This is the real story. And when we come together like this, like they did in the 60s in the civil rights movement, and like they did for the bus boycott from where I'm from, Montgomery, Alabama, when people have that kind of stamina, when people have that kind of determination, you know, they stayed off the buses for 376 days in Montgomery, Alabama. Some of us are going to have to deny ourselves. We're going to have to stay off the phones. We got to shut the phone companies down. We're going to form a national committee. We got people like Brother Bay ready to take us to a new level. People like Jerry, Sherry Sweeney, all these wonderful people, all of you. That's who the committee is. The committee is all of you. All of you. He's not going to have no problem. I told Brother Bay, you ain't going to have no problem because you got a bunch of people, a group of people who really, really want to make a difference. And if you're here today, I know that's what you want. I know I didn't come that far. I didn't come this far to play. I didn't come this far to do this today and go home and we forget all about it. We've got to start today and have an action plan, and we need to meet as soon as we can after this meeting. We don't need no months in between. We need to come back together somewhere, some city, some state, and let's get together and start working. Because if you haven't paid attention, in 2002, there were 200,000 men and women in prison. They've got 2.5 million. And I said this to an organization that said to me, why don't you wait to 2007? I said, for what? What are we waiting? They don't have any room to put people right now. There's so many abuses, medical, physical. You got political prisoners. You got so many issues going on in this country today. But I say to you today, you've got power. You got power because we proved it. We proved it in Montgomery, Alabama, that you got power. They revoked the Felony Restoration Act there in Montgomery, Alabama. And we put together a rally within 2 weeks of over 2,700 people there. And 2 weeks later, they passed that. So I know the power of you all coming together. I don't have to ask anybody. I know for myself. What family members have got to do is, first of all, hold your heads up. Society has painted a picture where sometimes I think, well, my son is in prison, and you don't have to hold your President Bush isn't holding his head down. Jeb Bush isn't holding his head down. They got criminals in their family. They're criminals themselves. They're not holding it. So why would you? Why would you? I'm not holding my head. I don't have anybody in prison. They try to put me, but I don't have anybody in prison. You don't have to condone the wrongdoing, but if you're a mother, if you're a wife, if you're a husband, if you're a sister, cousin, a brother, you hold your head up and you demand that they get good medical treatment. You demand that they not be beaten, raped. You demand that if they have a ridiculous sentence of 99 years or my brother David Losa's brother serving 26 years of life for residue, something you couldn't even measure, what's the justice in that? What's the justice in that? That's injustice. That's injustice. We're warehousing people. Please get the book. When you look at all these companies that invest in prisons, do you think American Express is really worried about rehabilitation?
No.
Do you really think that?
No.
They're not worried about rehabilitation. Inmates have become a commodity. And they're filling them up in any way they can get them. We're building a private prison right now in little old Perry County, Alabama. And the legislators are trying to tell us, well, we're doing it to provide jobs. Well, what the hell happened to Walmart? You know, what happened to Walmart? And when these things start to pop up wherever you are, in whatever state you're in, when they start to pop up, you start to protest and you start to say, we don't want another place for you to warehouse people. We don't want that in this country anymore. It's time out for it. It really and truly is. And I just want to applaud you again today. And we're going to get through this today. We're going to get through. There ain't going to be no kind of order because we all out of order. So we disregard the program because the whole country's out of order anyway.
We're out here in front of the White House at Lafayette Park. And I'm here with Nina Graves, a speaker for LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Nina, what is your concern? What are you bringing to this event?
I'm bringing to this event just enlightenment for the public to understand that the war on drugs is not effective, has not been effective over the years. In fact, it is, I'll say, enslaving communities and not focusing on the real problem. The real problem is really that we need rehabilitation and legalization of drugs just because of, from the economic standpoint, is draining our communities vital resources that could be used for other things, such as rehabilitation.
We'll be bringing Nina back to the Drug Truth Network here in the near future. She'll make about number 15 of LEAP members who've been guests on our show. Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, LEAP.cc. Next, from the Journey for Justice stage, we hear from Mr. Eric Sterling, president of the Criminal Justice Policy Foundation, CJPF.org.
What we're really all about is mobilizing the majority of the American people to want the change that we want. That's what our target objective is, when the majority of the people support what we want. And you know what? If we look at the history of other social movements, the civil rights movement, the women's rights movement, the anti-Vietnam War movement, all of these movements have a history, all of them have lessons to teach us, all of them have different kinds of roles that people have to follow. And so what I want to do is to help share with you some of those things. Because what we're doing is we're fighting the power holders in society. The government bureaucracies, the corporate interests that essentially have control over how the society is run. And that's contrary to what we all know is our national way of organizing. And we live subject then to the kind of social myths that the Congress responds to us. Well, it does, but only when we force them to. The common values of the American people are ones that are consistent with what we want. American people believe in fairness. They believe in equal opportunity. They believe in strong families. They believe in redemption and in second chances. They believe in cost effectiveness. They believe in prevention. A stitch in time saves nine. All the things that we know as far as the criminal justice problem, they agree with what we understand. And our job is then to make the connections that they support us in the end to massive imprisonment, to the end of three strikes and you're out, the end of the indifference to prisons. Because the power holders have been able to create myths. Their myth, for example, is long sentences reduce crime. But the real truth we know is they don't work. Long sentences wreck families. And many survive, but many more don't. There's a myth that prison lawsuits have led to reform, that the country is overpopulated with country club prisons. That's a myth. We know that's false. Prisons are dangerous, unsafe places. There's a myth that loopholes let offenders escape punishment. We know that's not true. We know the secret is that informants flood the system with fraudulent evidence. We know perjury drives the criminal justice system. We know slapdash crime labs railroad people into prison who are innocent. We know that dishonest prosecutors are indifferent to that perjury. There's a myth that the bail system is a revolving door, that violent criminals just go in and out. And we know, of course, that's not true, that the bail system keeps innocent poor people locked up, and that the only way they can get out is to plead guilty, to get home to their families and their jobs. There's a myth that there's a drug epidemic. Everybody's at risk, and we know that most drug users work. They care for their families. They pay taxes. There's a myth that revenge is what is required and justified, but we know that revenge doesn't work. The challenge of movements like ours is to expose the myths, expose the secrets, and to enlist our brothers and sisters, our fellow citizens, to join us. What we need to do is we need to alert, educate, win over, inspire, and involve ordinary folks. We need to alert, educate, win over, inspire, and involve them. That means we put the spotlight on the power holders, the myths that they tell, and the crimes that they commit.
Retired federal officer Gary Jones.
I'm a member of LEAP, as well as I have my own organization called Advocate for Justice. And I normally go out, and I created this organization to fight on the behalf of the inmates that's incarcerated under the mandatory minimum sentencing laws. I realized that 76% of the population in the federal system are nonviolent offenders. Inmates are getting so much time for the little things that they do. As a matter of fact, the family structure is being destroyed as we speak. They continue to build more and more prison. They've been doing it forever, but that's not the solution. We have to find a better way, you know, in this society to deal with people that break the law. Putting everybody in prison, it's not going to do it.
A large number of those in federal prisons are also in there by virtue of conspiracy charges. Is that?
Most definitely. Half of the people in there for conspiracy. And that's the sad thing about it. You can't even live your life due to the fact that the prosecutor and the DA want a conviction. The fact that I'm a retired lieutenant with the Bureau of Prisons, I was kind of hesitant to get some of my friends a ride across town because I didn't know if they had any drugs or anything. But the fact is, I'm so familiar with the conspiracy law. And if you get caught, you can be a passenger of a car, and someone can have drugs and you don't have any knowledge of it, and your friends can tell the police that you didn't have any knowledge of the drugs being in there. About 2 or 3 hours later, your friends are coming back and say that you did have knowledge based on the fact that they have been put in a room and telling them, we're going to give you 15, 20 years if you don't tell us that this person had prior knowledge. And in fact, people looking at 15, 20 years of life, and they tell them, okay, we're going to give you 3 years if you just go ahead on telling that they knew. You know, the fact is that the DA and the prosecutor are trying to get more convictions instead of trying to investigate and see what the real problem is. So they just locking people in prison and throwing away the key, not even trying to find out. It's just the fact that the conspiracy law is causing so much havoc in the United States.
Next, we hear from Amy Ralston. You were convicted of a drug charge and spent many years behind bars. Tell us the nature of that charge.
The government basically wanted me to cooperate against my husband at that time, who's my ex-husband, who had been involved in manufacturing some ecstasy. And I refused to cooperate because that meant, as explained to me by my attorney, wearing a wire and trying to infiltrate his organization. So the government said, you either cooperate or we'll indict you for conspiracy, which 2 years later is exactly what they did after they harassed me for 2 years. And I had a public defender who really wasn't very interested in representing me. More, he really wanted me to just plead guilty, which I refused to do. I received a 24-year sentence for conspiracy, basically because I had collected some bail money after my husband was arrested. And the nature of conspiracy is if you do one thing in the conspiracy, you're held responsible for all things that everybody else did in the conspiracy. The media got my case and reported on it while I was incarcerated because my ex-husband, who was a Stanford Law School graduate, cooperated, did a little bit of time in Germany, which is where he was arrested, and got only 3 years probation in the U.S. for cooperating. So the kingpin went free, which is very common, and I ended up with 24 years. Only because I think the media got involved and then some senators and eventually 16 politicians wrote letters requesting that President Clinton grant my clemency did I go free. Otherwise, I think I'd still be in there until 2012. And I'm very fortunate, but I left a lot of wonderful people behind, which is why I'm here at this reception in March here in Washington, D.C. See, I started a foundation called Can Do. It's clemency for all nonviolent drug offenders, and I'm trying to advocate for clemency for additional people, especially women who are on my website, www.candoclemency.com, who really have worse stories than mine. And they've done usually more than 10 years, and they are in there anywhere from 10 to life.
If you're a regular listener to the Drug Truth Network, you've heard us following the story of David Losa as he rode his bicycle across America, 3,200 miles from L.A. to Washington, D.C., and just as the rally began, David rode his bike across the finish line in front of the stage, and I had a chance to talk to him about his efforts. Please excuse the jumbled sounds. All right, David, 3,200 miles across America. You just crossed the finish line here in D.C. How's it feel?
Very emotional. I feel very very glad to be here and relieved that the bike ride's over.
Well, indeed, and a lot of people heard about it. A lot of people are thinking about prison reform thanks to your efforts.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I appreciate Roberta Franklin for having this this march on Washington and raise awareness of our injustice of our prison system and our criminal justice in this country. And I'm just relieved. You know, my ride's over, but the struggle for prison reform and everything is just beginning.
Again, from the main stage, a regular contributor to the Drug Truth Network, head of the November Coalition, and publisher of the Razor Wire newspaper, Miss Nora Callahan.
I come here today to bring you a message from the prisoners of war in America. The drug war is a fraud! Yeah. each one of us must ask ourselves if we want a Bill of Rights or not. In the late 80s, my brother was sentenced to 27 and a half years in federal prison on the words of others saving their own butts.
That's right.
When I was a child, I was taught not to tattle. Today, we reward it. We reward it with freedom while people's friends and mothers go to prison for terrible lengths of time, where they are exposed to violence, degradation, daily humiliation. Mostly, though, it's boredom.
Yeah.
Mostly, it's loneliness. Marriages don't last. Family ties shred. And this has been called justice in America. Well, it isn't a war on drugs. It's just a war on people. And it's time to end it. They made laws to keep black and white people apart. Brown people, Native Americans, everyone. They want us apart. They made laws and it didn't work. And then sometime in the mid-1700s, they figured it out. And they gave poor white people a little more. And that worked. It kept us apart. Things and stuff keeps us apart. So it's good to see us black and white and brown together today to fight the injustice. God bless you. Peace. And we will end this terrible criminal justice system, this era in this country.
To learn more about what you can do to help end this prison industrial nightmare, I urge you to visit Nora's website, november.org. Please be advised you can hear more from the Journey for Justice rally on the Century of Lies program, as well as next week's 420 Drug War News reports, and on our website at drugtruth.net. But to close out the cultural baggage coverage from this event, this is the Drug Truth Network reporter, Loretta Nall.
Oh God, they turned me loose in Washington, D.C. This is my first time speaking in D.C., and I want to make it memorable. First, I want to say I'm glad to see black and white people here together today from drug policy and prison reform, because we have to marry those two things before we're ever going to get anything accomplished on this road that we're traveling. The drug policy in this country is largely responsible for the 2.5 million people we have in prison today.
Yeah.
They get drawn in because they got caught with a joint, and then they never get back out again. They get probation. They get parole. They get violated because they failed a piss test. They get violated because they didn't have $30 to give to their parole officer. What? You go back to prison. They don't want you to get out. They don't want to help you. They imply laws that you can't have public housing if you have a drug conviction. You can't have a decent place to live if you have a drug conviction. You can't get food stamps. You can't get a Pell Grant. You can't do nothing if you got caught with a joint. You can stay in jail for the rest of your life and die. That's exactly what they want from you. I've been hearing on board this lady that spoke a few minutes ago from Straight Inc. She talked about the kids in school. We have a police state going on. We have, you think the DARE program teaches your kids to stay away from drugs? It's nothing but a recruiting tool for the future generation of inmates. It's job security for the bastards that's in our kindergarten classes. Job security. They're looking for their next generation of prisoners. We've got to get rid of DARE. They're teaching our kids that, hey, it's okay for a dog to sniff your ass. Don't react. It's okay. I'm going to demand you piss in a cup if you're going to do it. No questions asked. Parents are sitting by taking this. You don't understand. I travel all over the U.S. to schools that have been busted, where they put in undercover narcotics agents posing as students, trying to drag kids off to prison for 15, 20 years, life. And boy, I went to Florida earlier this year and I asked them, what could we do besides bring police officers in to narc on you, to, you know, gain your trust and then turn you over? And the kids told me, they said, maybe they could bring drugs dogs to sniff us more often. Maybe they can make us pee in a cup more often. Kids have been indoctrinated from the time they entered the public school system to accept that this is okay. Get used to that dog. He's going to be there the rest of your life. Get used to pissing in a cup on demand because you're going to do it the rest of your life. I'm not going to do it.
That's right.
We've also been talking today about we got to get out and vote. We got to call our elected officials. Yeah, we got to do that. But you know what else we have to do? We have to become the change that we wish to see.
Right.
I decided that I would run for the governor's office of Alabama. I may not win, but you know what? I think I will. I think people are sick and tired of being oppressed and being held down and being kept out of society. And I know my fellow citizens in Alabama, and they are sick of what they got. And so I want to encourage you all before I close up here. Not only do you need to call your elected officials and tell them what you want and write them and visit them, you have got to enter the political arena as a candidate. We are the only ones who can properly represent ourselves. Yeah. I'm Loretta Nall with the U.S. Marijuana Party. I'm a candidate for governor of Alabama in the 2006 election. Thank you once again for coming out today. We really appreciate you being here. Fight on!
We are going to press on.
I want to thank Roberta Franklin and all the people involved in the Journey for Justice event. I thought it was very powerful and very encouraging. But, my friends, it's really up to you. We have several thousand people working towards ending the prison industrial complex, but we could certainly use your help. Again, two websites I urge you to visit, November.org and JourneyForJustice.org. Manuel Noriega, Pablo Escobar, Mark Emery.
The cannabis seed purveyor who's been demonized by the U.S. government, they want to extradite him to our country to stand trial for sentencing up to life in prison.
Mark, actually, I even qualify for the death penalty, but they can't extradite if the Americans are asking for the death penalty. But, you know, the drug kingpin legislation passed under the Newt Gingrich Congress made it so that anyone who produces 60,000 plants or 60,000 kilograms of marijuana or deliberately distributes or manufactures 60,000 seeds is liable to the death penalty. So little old Canadian Mark is now public enemy number one for the DEA. You know, they said of the 46 international crime organizations that they track down, I'm the only one in Canada that they have ever been concerned with. So I'm bigger than the triads, bigger than the Asian gangs, bigger than Hell's Angels, bigger than all other criminal empires, including all the ones that ship guns into Canada and cocaine. I'm bigger than that. And can you believe it? My empire is incredibly efficient. It's just me. There's no other guys. You know, even when they raided me, there were really no drugs to find, no guns, no cash, no money, hardly any seeds, really. You know, just some computers and what have you.
They've raided you up there with Manuel Noriega and Pablo Escobar, I suppose.
Well, it's flattering to be referred to as, you know, the Mr. Big. I was joking, and I don't like to take my situation lightly very often, but I was thinking if when I get on the American media and they get to meet me and find out what I've done with this money, this $4 million that I gave away to our movement to help keep it flourishing and active, and that, you know, the whole philosophy of this overgrow the government that I started in 1994, in a period of time when there were no hemp stores, there was no medical marijuana, there was nothing like that. Books and magazines about marijuana were illegal in Canada when I started this activism in 1990. And since then, we've come such a long, long way. Well, the DEA knows that's due in a large part to my efforts around the world. In both spreading this money and spreading our philosophy and spreading our ideas. You know, there's a reason why every single autograph I've ever given thousands and thousands of times says, plant the seeds of freedom, overgrow the government, signed Mark Emery. It's because it's working. It's been working, and I'm targeted for that.
If you would like to learn more or to help Mark Emery, please visit CannabisCulture.com. Quick program notes. I want to thank Judith Brink in WRPI in Troy, New York for becoming our 39th affiliate. And I want to thank the folks at WXOJ for becoming our first affiliate to carry the Century of Lies program. Next week we'll be reporting from the methamphetamine conference in Salt Lake City. And as always, I remind you, because of drug prohibition, you don't know what's in that bag. Please be careful. To the Drug Truth Network listeners around the world, on behalf of engineer Philip Guffey, this is Dean Becker for Cultural Baggage and the Unvarnished Truth. The show produced at the Pacifica Studios of KPFT, Houston. Jap dancing on the edge of an abyss.